Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Hello and welcome. Our special guest today is Pastor James Chesser of Charleston, West Virginia. He's a great friend to our church, and he's been to Israel with me at least twice, I think, and has also been to Washington, D.C. with me on trips to do grassroots lobbying to strengthen the U.S.-Israel relationship. Recently, we had him to come and preach for a youth event hosted by our church, open to all of the youth of a large section of northern West Virginia. He preached a powerful message titled, David, I Am Not. And it will take us probably at least two broadcasts to get this over. But we have time, I think, to have some great music for you from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Fearless, the name of this track is From the Inside Out.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. And my heart and my soul, will I give you control? Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside.
To bring you praise from the inside.
promised, here is Pastor James Chesser preaching David, I Am Not. Come, my friend, and preach to us.
Come on, let's praise the Lord together. He's worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's adore Him. Let's magnify Him. Hallelujah. Let's cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's clap our hands to the Lord Jesus one more time. He's worthy of all the praise, the glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. So blessed and honored to be with you all tonight. Thank you for being here and spending your Friday evening worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. We love this church, love Pastor Joseph, Sister Joseph. We had the privilege, our body was blessed. Our group at Charleston was blessed with their ministry recently. And I'm always good to be with Pastor Joseph in this great, great church. And I want to give honor to Brother Colombo. Did a great job leading the service tonight. Thank you, brother. And the Sister Davenport, I believe it was, that spoke earlier, let's give her a hand clap. Done a wonderful job. And I want to say today, I'm so glad to have Brother Nathan Martin, who traveled with me today from Charleston, West Virginia, our youth pastor. He is a great man of integrity and character and a dynamic preacher. Amen. Thankful for Brother Nathan Martin. Amen. Praise God. We're thankful for everybody who was able to gather. I know many of you came a long distance to be here tonight. Brother Davenport, so good to see Brother Davenport. I love this man. I'm worshiping with two preachers tonight that I've been to Israel with on two different trips, actually. It's amazing when I think about that. Both times that I went to Israel, God sent two supervisors from West Virginia to keep an eye on this Tennessee boy and make sure he behaves. I love and appreciate this, and what a great opportunity it is to be in the house of God and to be able to minister. Let's look in 1 Samuel 17 and 50. And we're going to read down through verse number 52, and then I'd like to take you to the book of John, chapter 5, and verse number 39. John 5 and 39 will be our secondary text. 1 Samuel 17, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted. Everybody say shouted. Shout. And pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and the gates of Ekron, and he wounded of the Philistines, and the wounded, excuse me, of the Philistines fell down by the way of Sherem, even to Gath and unto Ekron. I want to look at John 5 and 39. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Somebody say, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They testify of me. You know, us preachers, we learn to get messages and inspirations from many places. Do they have pick one? The one of the coffee mug? Is that available to throw up real quickly? I love this coffee mug. I feel like I may have just ruined some of y'all's night already. But look closely. Goliath, and somebody say, not you. I'm going against the grain tonight. Every preacher, every motivational speaker, and maybe a few preachers and Sunday school teachers have tried to tell you you're David, but you're not. Unless your name is actually David, then we'll let it pass on that. I'm actually feeling sorry for the Davids tonight already, Brother Martin, that's going to hear this message. The biblical character, David. You're not the biblical character, David. I hope I don't have to say that a few times tonight. But I'm going to preach, and I want you to help me preach this tonight if you could. David, everybody say, David, I am not. David, I am not. Let's put our Bibles aside. Let's reach to the heavens. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless and help and minister in this place tonight. God, you know what we need. You know where we are. You know what needs to be said in this room tonight. God, I ask you, anoint me to preach to this section. I ask God for your favor and anointing, Lord, to transmit your word in a way that you want me to preach, a way that you want me to speak, God. I offer myself to you to do as your will be done, Lord. You know what I've prepared and prayed over, but anything you tell me to speak tonight through this mic, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it. I want to follow your spirit. I want to bless this church. I want to bless this pastor and these folks today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, tell your neighbor you're not David. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Unless you actually are named David, then we'll let it pass. Years ago, in a jail service near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, an elder pastor was holding a jail service. The pastor's name was Ray Hudson. I was able to meet him early in my ministry, but he has passed away. It's been a few years since he has passed on to the other side. But that faithful day, Pastor Hudson went and he preached a message to those that were in jail. And his text, which has already been cited in this service, was Paul and Silas that was locked in prison. And the preacher went down the line and he preached so well and helped and ministered and did a great job. And he continued on, had a great, powerful altar call. And so after the service, one of the inmates, may have been two of them, approached him. And this was what they asked. They said, so preacher, we just got to know. We got to know this. Are you saying that we're like Paul and Silas? And the preacher looked at them in the eye and said, no, you're not Paul and Silas. Not even close. He said, Paul and Silas was in jail for preaching the gospel. You, my friend, are here for stealing a lawnmower. My point, early point tonight, is it's so tempting and convenient in our culture to look at a text and imagine ourselves as the character. So tempting in our culture to do that. You know why? Because narcissism is at a high level right now among our generation. We like to introduce ourselves into these stories and we think it fits best, and it comes quite natural for us to do such. Films have captured our imagination, especially our children. And you want to live out what's played before your eyes. If girls grow up, they want to be Cinderella. They want to be Snow White. They want to be Moana, Elsa, whatever their names are. I actually knew all those names because I have daughters. I'm a girl dad. Got two girls in my house. Boys, on the other hand, they want to be the victor. They want to be the prince. They want to be the prince or Peter Pan. And yes, after reading this story so many years, all boys want to be David. We want to be the one charging the enemy with the stone and smiting him and cutting off his head, and we win. The issue that I'm raising tonight with this sermon is by inserting ourselves in every biblical narrative, it's possible that we misplace the true meaning and narrative. Not only that, but we very dangerously set ourselves up for disappointment. We set ourselves up for failure when we tell ourselves every day we're supposed to be a hero. In this hero-driven society, we're supposed to be the hero. We can set ourselves up for great disappointment. Missing the proper placement of characters leading to missing the overall point. And the Bible was written to declare something. The Bible was written to give life with true intent. And the text that I have showed you this evening and we've read together is quite possibly one of the most popular texts that has ever been used for inspiration. I thought today how most of us want to be David, but let's be clear, we only want to be David on that page. We don't want to be David in a few pages prior to that, some of the pages after that. We don't really want to be the one that is going back into town when all of the families had been kidnapped and taken off in the battle. We don't want to be that David. We don't want to be the David that's grieving so hard over his son that he looks at a dove and says, you know, when it flies away, he said, oh, if I could just fly away with wings. We don't want to be that David. We want to be the young David that's victorious. We do want to be the giant slayer. We want to be the rock slinger. We want to be the underdog shepherd. But not many people are signing up to be David at Ziklag. Nobody wants to be Davalim when Absalom, his very own son, fought against him. Nobody signs up to be David after hearing that his son has died. He wished he could just spread wings and disappear. I have for years preached about being David. I have. This is maybe a confessional message for me. I've said, you need to be David. With only God on your side, pursue, slay the giant. We've heard it. But here's what I want to tell us tonight. The scripture is given to us for example and inspiration. But always placing yourself as the character of victory is not wise. It's narcissistic, really. Everything is not about us. And wouldn't it be us tonight that would think the Bible was written about us? There's a real danger that while looking at it with a preconceived idea that we actually miss the revelation, the clear message that God wants to communicate. So in trying to insert ourselves in every story, we quite possibly miss the true meaning and the power of the story. I want to say this, and I say this trying not to shock anyone too bad, but the Bible wasn't written about you. You are not the Bible's hero. The Bible was written for you and unto you to help you, but it's not about you. So I told you my title and I echo it again, David, I am not. I'm not David in this story. So, okay, preacher, you've made a point. You've laid out the facts. So who am I? It's a good question. Who am I in the text? Well, students, let's review. Let's take a few other considerations that you've probably never thought about. There's more in this story than just David. So let's step out of our minds for a minute, a little bit, and consider the fact that maybe we may find ourselves fitting in other characters rather than David. All right? So I think I might have offended children's ministries, teachers, and all kinds of people up to this point. And a ton of bumper stickers. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, bumper sticker man that said, you're David. You're not David. Sorry about that. Well, what's your point? Well, I want to preach this text to you tonight, but I want to consider some alternative assignments and people that we may better be represented when we look at the scripture. May give a clearer picture of really where we are in this thing. The Philistines, the Bible said the Philistines are gathered for battle. David and the men of Israel gathered and they fought against the enemy, and the Philistines were on one side of the mountain and Israel's on the other side of the mountain, and in the middle was a valley. And this Goliath, this great giant, went out and he yelled and he chanted at the armies of Israel. He challenged anybody that would be brave enough to come out and fight in this winner take all. He mocked, he intimidated for 40 days. He defied the armies. Think about that. 40 days. He defended the armies of Israel. So that's the backdrop at our scene. You look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So let's look at Saul for a moment. I guarantee you there ain't one person in this room that said, yeah, I'm Saul. I guarantee you've never heard a Sunday school teacher or anybody explain to you or try to tell you, hey, you're Saul in this story. But let's look at it for a moment. Saul was Israel's king. The nation of Israel wanted to join the surrounding political climate and get a king. When you think about it, Saul could have very well been considered a giant in Israel. He was a head above everybody else. He was as large or larger than anybody in Israel. He was head and shoulders above the rest, is what your Bible says about Saul. Until recently, it occurred to me that this could be a view as a giant versus a giant. Israel's king against giant Goliath of the Philistines. But Goliath was much more superior. And anytime any nation, people, or individual, they prop themselves up above God, eventually something else comes along that's bigger than your idol. And eventually your idol creates folly in your life. My word. Israel went against God's will. They wanted a king, and God let them have a king. But eventually their God king, eventually their idol would have a bigger Goliath that he would be afraid of. Israel wanted somebody powerful, physically impressive, who could lead us, one who could go out in battle and win for them. And Saul, Israel's giant was great and magnificent in size and appearance. And your Bible says he was a foot above everybody else in Israel. And he didn't even enter the arena with Goliath. I said he didn't even enter the arena with Goliath because he was dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, that's something that we should be able to say I can identify with some days. I can relate to him in a couple of ways. I can relate to Saul in a couple of ways. Number one, I have been the king more loyal to my kingdom than the kingdom of God. I have been guilty of that. More concerned about my world than the world. That's good. Whoa. I have sit with my armor on and let the enemy or situation get the best of me, taunting me and bullying me. Let's get real. There's been times I've been afraid. There's been times I've been dismayed. We want to think of ourselves as David, but there's been a lot of times in our lives, and maybe even right now, that we're more like Saul than we are like David. Number two, I can relate also because you can also put yourself in a position that you are looking for an individual for victory, thinking that the answer lies within a person that is not my Savior. The leader and the Israelites, I can relate to. But David, again, I say, I cannot. Verse 26 says, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he had spoken unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? So let's consider the brothers. We want to be David, but sometimes we act like those brothers. So now his brothers enter the scene. And David is there simply delivering food and supplying for his brothers. He's the baby. He's the underdog. He inquires, and then his brothers respond. They're angry. Why are you here? You're doing this out of pride. Does that ring true for anybody in this room except me? I can relate to this, but I shouldn't be the only one tonight. Surely you will admit that you've been there before, or you may be here now. No way they can do it. What are they doing here? They don't have what it takes. They're doing this out of pride. That's why he wanted that position. He done it out of pride. No way they'll make it. How many times have we predicted to lose or didn't have what it took or they didn't have the goods. How many have we written off mentally? We want to be the enemy slaying David, but in reality, it's possible sometimes we're the jealous brothers. Hallelujah. Remember that prodigal son of the lost sons? Truthfully, we see ourselves as prodigals coming to God, but sometimes forget how we can be the jealous brothers. My flesh wants to be David, but I should be concerned about my role sometimes as a jealous brother. David's brother was likely still offended at David being chosen and anointed by Samuel. How many times has this happened and divided relationships in the church? He was elected, but it should have been me. He got the position, but it should have been me. He got the promotion and not me. Why was they selected to sing and not me? How come he preached and I didn't get to preach? How come he led the group and I didn't get to lead the group? How come I'm never favored? Again, we often put ourselves in the position of David, but there are plenty other examples. And I submit to you another great example. Look at Goliath. Somebody say, look at Goliath. 17:4 of the Bible says that refers to him as a champion. Literally the man in the middle. Goliath stood between two armies of the Philistines and the Israelites and offered. Now I know, no one, and I mean no one, that I am aware in this famous Bible study says, yep, I'm Goliath. But consider this, for the Israelites, this was what stood currently in the way for victory. How many times have we been the biggest hindrance on the scene? How many times have we been the glaring figure of flesh that didn't mind the things of God, that got into the way? I'm trying to preach some humility and some reality into our lives. We want to be David, but it's quite possible sometimes we're the jealous brothers. Sometimes we're Saul, and yet sometimes it's Goliath who we're playing that part. And let me tell you something bold tonight. Sometimes for the will of God to transpire, they would literally have to go against us. Man, what a familiar reality this can be. It's possible that on our best days, I am more like Goliath than I am like David. Thick-headed, stubborn, complete opposition. And the best thing for me would be a small projectile rock right between my eyes. Blaming others when I should be looking in the mirror. We are surveying this day, young people, real life examples of who we are in one of the most popular stories of the Old Testament. It's a real life true story of good versus evil. And a lot of lives are on the line in this conflict. So after surveying possible characters that could give us the right perspective of seeing ourselves in this story, I want to direct us to who we are. Somebody say who we are. I want to direct us to where we should identify ourselves. And no, we're still not David. If you hope I've changed my mind, I have not.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.